welcome in to Mav Day on the road today. Colorado Coffee, Craft Coffee and Beer House, 1144 North 12th Street, right across from Colorado Mesa, featuring only Colorado's best coffee and beer and everything in the place, from the teas to the sodas to the coffees, ciders, you name it. They're all from Colorado. And by the way, if you're swinging by for a coffee today, there's no charge for coffee add-ons. And it's not just because we're here. It's that way all the time. That's the way James does it. They have the beer flights. They have beer bingo tonight at 6:30. Their world-famous trivia nights every Friday at 6:30. Perfect place if you're a student to do some studying, if you're a business person to do some work, or just to hang out with friends and enjoy the great coffee, the great beers and ciders they have here at Colorado Craft Coffee and Beer House, proud sponsor of Mav Day on the Team Sports Network. We'll be out here for the next hour, so please come on by. You can bring your breakfast in, or got some donuts out here, too. Joining us right now, Chris Hanks of the Maverick baseball team. Chris, appreciate the time as always.
Glad to be here, Jim.
Ball clubs roll a little bit right now. I know the pitching is still something that's a bit of a work in progress, but for your ball club, you had Colorado Christian coming in, and your win streak's now at 11 straight games with the sweep of Colorado Christian. And I know that when we talked last week, that despite their record, just a couple of wins on the season, that you still felt like it's Mesa always has a bullseye on your chest. You know that, and so no matter what their record is, you expected a competitive series, and at times you guys had to come back in a couple of those ball games to beat Colorado Christian this last weekend.
Yeah, you know, I think that their ball club is much better than their record shows. I had several people tell me that, too, that watched the ball games. Is they were surprised. You know, they got a pretty good little club, and I said, I told you that going in, and they've lost some close ones. They just don't quite know how to win that group. But I think they're going to knock some people off here down the stretch.
Mentioned your win streak's now at 11 games. You completed the four-game sweep of Colorado Christian. What do you feel like you learned from your ball club? I think every weekend you probably learn something different about your baseball team. What do you feel like you learned about your Mavs this weekend?
Well, they still continue to show great resiliency from the offensive side. And when we do get down, they've been answering. What we have to get solved is, you know, we're still working on getting the right combinations of pitching. I've felt since the beginning that pitching could be a strength of this team. It hasn't shown up that way yet. I think some guys are still underachieving a little bit, not playing their best. And, you know, perhaps we're not putting them in the right spots either. So we're still working through that, and we'll make a few little changes this weekend.
I know that Liam Hohenstein had a great year last year. It's been a bit of a difficult start for him. What do you feel like you saw from him and Jeff Rogers this last weekend?
Well, we moved him back to the bullpen this week. He only threw one inning, but he looked exceptional in that inning. That one inning felt a little more like his performance last year. I think going into this year, he's probably put too much pressure on himself. He's wanted to be better than last year, although last year is going to be hard for him to beat any time in his career because his numbers were amazing. And I think he just needs to get back to pitching, not trying to do too much. I think he's pressing, and he's certainly catching too much of the heart of the plate on too many pitches.
How did he take going to the bullpen for the time being? Because that's always, you know, that's a measure of a guy where he is mentally. Is he willing to take that perceived emotion, use that as fuel to get back on the bump as a starter? Obviously, he pitched well, so seems like from that standpoint, responded to that change pretty good this last weekend.
Yeah, he responded just fine. I think that, you know, when I told him, I sensed some level of, I don't want to say relief, but relief of pressure. And I think it's always effective with pitchers or sometimes position guys, changing their viewpoint, changing their perspective, changing their role, gives them, they look through another set of eyes, it relieves some pressure, maybe they're feeling some pressing. And so we'll get it back in the rotation this weekend.
It's Mav Day at Colorado Craft Coffee and Beer House. We're located right across from Houston Hall on the Mesa campus, 1144 North 12th Street in Glenwood. And we'll be out here for the next hour and swing by, grab a cup of coffee today. Don't forget, they do have beer bingo tonight at 6:30 here at Colorado Craft Coffee and Beer House. Chris Hanks, Maverick baseball coach, coach of the 23rd-ranked Maverick baseball team with us today, talking about a guy that had a good weekend, Ethan Voss, coming out of the bullpen, got the win for you this past week in the relief role, just gave up one run and five hits, walked a couple, struck out nine. So Ethan Voss, a really good performance for you, Chris, this last weekend.
Yeah, you know, Ethan's a kid we expect a lot of great things out of, and I think that at some point we may see him in the rotation. We considered it this week, but he's been so good out of the bullpen, you know, a little bit of an anchor there. If things aren't going well with a starter, he can come in and kind of gives you a second starter to back a guy up. So we're real pleased with his performance.
Talk a lot about pitching. Flip it over to the offensive side. Christo Stefanos had a really good weekend. He had a couple of home runs. Kyle Miller hit a couple of home runs this weekend as well, particularly in that 20-7 seven-inning mercy rule game that Victory had over Colorado Christian. Both those guys, hot bats this last weekend for the Mavericks.
Yeah, Christos, you know, he's dangerous. He's as dangerous as a kid there is in the conference. And, you know, he started off the season a little bit slow. We didn't even travel him to Florida on the first trip. You know, he hadn't looked real great in the early season, his rhythm and timing, but he's starting to catch fire now.
Also, this last weekend, you're just, you know, looking at some of the other guys that had good offensive weekends. Like we've talked about, Rob Sherrar hit a two-run home run. Rob is back to being the Rob Sherrar that we knew from last year, and this last weekend just kind of backed up what he did the weekend before against Colorado School of Mines.
Well, he's another example like Liam. You know, early in the year, he was really pressing, trying to do everything, be the everything for us, and he finally released that and has just gotten back to playing and being who he is, because who he is pretty good in terms of a hitter and a player.
When you've talked with Rob, and I think we probably brought this up before in our conversations, Chris, when you have a Liam or you have a Rob Sherrar, I mean, it's getting those guys back to be where they're comfortable. Right. And with Rob, what was the approach to try to get him back to being comfortable?
Well, we just tried, you know, he was over swinging and just pressing and trying so hard. So we tried, we did a lot of what we call tension-free swings, you know, easy swings in drill work, getting him try to relax, release the tension, and just fall in love with the base hit and understand that, you know, he can't win it all for us. And all he has to be is who he is and be a competitor, being tough at the plate, and that's really it.
Couple of series now into conference play. I mean, pitching, like we talked about, is still an area that starting pitching, still trying to sort that out a little bit. Maybe another area or two where you feel like you're still trying to get some answers in terms of maybe infield play, outfield. What are some of those questions you still have about your ball club now a couple of series into conference play?
Well, I think the biggest question would be shortstop. We've played it. I've never in my career, we've never played so many shortstops, and we have some options. You know, I think right now the front runner may be Kyle Miller. He's, you know, been a two-way guy for us. We might see him doing a little more positional play and move him to the bullpen and reduce the innings. But, you know, we have a very talented young man, Josh Romans, who's been who started the year as our starter. He's only got 9 or 10.
JUCO kid, correct?
Yeah, from the Texas team.
From Weatherford.
Weatherford, yep. And, you know, but he's just been – he's had difficulty with injuries, so we get him healthy, he gets in for a game, he gets hurt again, and he's recently been out for 2 weeks. He got back briefly this weekend. He's full go now, but we have T.J. Ream, who started a game this weekend. We started Ethan Ezor. We lost him for the year with a ruptured Achilles tendon last week, and so we played several different guys. Joey Blank.
So it's somebody eventually is going to rise to the top, stay healthy, solidify that spot for your baseball team.
Yeah, but I also think it might be a year where we play a couple of shortstops down the stretch. I mean, I think Kyle will probably be one of those, but we'll also need him maybe to pitch some innings in a short bullpen role. So, you know, I think the top candidates right now are T.J. Ream and probably Joey Blank and then Kyle Miller.
You kind of spoiled the last several years. Hamilton, Rogers.
Yeah.
And it's really kind of been, you've had a luxury of really talented guys at that position, guys that also stayed healthy and were very productive.
We've had a lot of All-Americans at the shortstop position. You go back to Willie Hinojosa and Matt Bodenchuk and Nate Robertson. I mean, we can go on. We've had some really good ones. And that's one position over the years we've never really rotated. We've always had a guy that took it and ran and was the dude. And so this is something new for me.
Yeah. So even as long as you've been doing this, there's always a little curveball that the season throws at you.
There always is. It's amazing, man. You think you've seen it all, and there's something new.
We talked early in the season about trying to figure out infield and get that defense better. How crucial is that shortstop guy, kind of the captain of the infield a little bit, getting everybody in the right spot, you know, with the way you want to approach a specific hitter? How much of that is due to the fact that you've been playing four or five guys kind of up the middle at times?
Yeah, you know, it's the shortstop position, obviously, you know, the middle infield is crucial. That's where most of the balls are hit, in the infield. And so you need a good glove guy, a guy that doesn't make very many mistakes. And if you can get a guy that hits, that's a plus. Which we've usually had at that position. So, you know, we're still sorting it out, but I think we're headed in the right direction.
We're at Colorado Craft Coffee and Beer House, 1144 North 12th Street in Glenwood, across from the CMU campus. It is Mav Day today, so swing by, get a cup of coffee, and say hi to Chris Hanks, and talk a little Maverick baseball down here at Colorado Craft Coffee and Beer House. And so, Chris, it's Regis up next. You head over there this weekend, and for Regis right now, they're 15-10 and 1 overall, 6-2 in RMAC play, coming off the 3-1 series win over Metro State. So Regis playing some pretty good baseball right now.
Yeah, Regis has a really good club. You know, they have very good pitching. They've played a very tough schedule. They split with Augustana, who's ranked real high. They went out to California, and I think they won a series against Westmont. They've split with Lubbock Christian down in Texas 2 weeks ago. So, you know, we know we have a target on our back. They have nothing to lose. They have a good club, and we're going to have to play our best this weekend.
When you do your scouting, your evaluation of them from an offensive standpoint, a couple of names that pop up that your pitching staff's going to have to put the cuffs on, who would that be?
Well, they have a really good two-hole hitter, Levi Padilla. He's their center fielder. He's a left-handed hitter. You know, he's been around for a few years. He's very difficult to get out. They have a new leadoff guy by the last name of Khan, who really runs, gets on base, bunts. They have a second baseman named Rice. They have five left-handed hitters in their lineup, so that'll be something that we haven't seen this year, that volume of left-handed hitters. So positionally, they're offensive from the standpoint. They run the base as well. They play a lot of small ball. Their team average is good. They generally haven't been, this year anyway, you know, the power numbers aren't anything over the top, although it does exist. They have a four-hole hitter. I'm forgetting his name. It's a strange name. He's one of the leaders in the conference in home runs. But overall, they're just a solid offensive team.
I mean, from a pitching standpoint, Ethan Sloan came out of the bullpen for them through an inning and a third of relief, got his second win of the season. So looks like they got a bullpen guy that's a fairly reliable guy in Ethan Sloan.
Yeah, he has 32 strikeouts and I think 15 innings pitched. So we know him. He's been there last couple of years. He's tough, left-handed pitcher. They have three really good starting pitchers that are new to their program. So, you know, we're going to have to be offensive. We're going to have to play good defense, and we're going to have to get a little better pitching than we've been getting.
CMU baseball coach Chris Hanks with us today. We're at Colorado Craft Coffee and Beer House for Mav Day, 1144 North 12th Street, and Glenwood across from CMU. Swing by and grab a cup of coffee today and join us out here for Mav Day today. When you just look around the conference right now, Chris, just give me your takeaway of maybe some teams that have surprised with how they're playing right now, good and bad, in the conference.
Well, you know, Adams State had a nice year recruiting, and they have a group of kids that have become seniors, have been there for several years. I think they're sitting in third place right now with a winning record in conference. They're dangerous. You know, Colorado Mines, we already played them, and we were fortunate to get out of that with a sweep. They took 3 out of 4 from CSU Pueblo this weekend at home. I think Mines, of the teams we've seen so far in conference, Mines is the best team. I think the next one here this weekend, Regis, will be Mines and Regis. I think are going to be two of the best. And we got Pueblo coming in, and they've had a nice year to this point. They're much better. And then we have Chico State coming in. Of course, they're not in conference. But
team, you got some history with previously being out in the West in the past.
Yeah, we have a lot of history with Chico. You know, forever they were the team that kept us from getting to the World Series, and then we finally busted through. But we have them come to our place. You know, UCCS has a poor record right now. It appears as though they've started to figure things out. here. They've gotten some guys back that were injured. We got them coming up. So we have a tough
got some local guys like Renner Mancuso from Palisade that's on that team.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think it's a good conference this year. It's balanced. And as we compare it to the Lone Star that we compete against, they're down there beating each other up, and it's going to be an interesting finish.
Chris Hanks, coach of the Maverick baseball team, with us today on Mav Day here at Colorado Craft Coffee and Beer House, 1144 North 12th Street and Glenwood across from Houston Hall. So moving forward, games will be all over at Bergman once again, but you are going to play at Saplesio. Can you give us a little advanced information about that, because I know it's going to have a special game over at Saplesio later on the season.
Yeah, the end of April. I don't know the date off the top of my head. In Mexico Highlands on a Friday night, we're going to have a fireworks night. Our annual fireworks night will be there, and so we'll play one game over there, but the rest will be over at the Diamond at the Bergman Sports Complex.
Now, you played at the Diamond for a couple of seasons now. How's it playing? How's it holding up? What has that been like? Because, I mean, you guys are very involved. Your team is very involved in maintaining that field. See, after every game, your guys are out there working on that field. How has that worked? How has it held up? What does that look like in terms of now you have a little bit of playing time, a lot of innings on that field to get an idea and evaluation of how it's worked out in terms of how that surface is playing?
Well, we have an amazing field. We're very happy with it. It was built top-notch. The surface just plays wonderful. It's, I think, the second-best field in the state of Colorado next to Coors Field. That's my opinion. And I'll stick to that because it really plays smooth. And, you know, as you mentioned, though, it's created a lot of work for us. We went from, you know, leasing the stadium over at Saplesio, which we loved. We just show up and play, and when the game's over, we leave. But at our place, man, we're working that all week long. We're working it before games to get it ready, after games to get it ready. We mow it, rake it, fertilize it, aerate it.
I got to ask you, how is the work distributed? How does it work in terms of who does what when you guys are working on the field after the game?
Well, Coach Vig kind of is in charge of signing the players the job, so all the players know what their area of responsibility is. We have guys taking care of the warning track, the mound, the plate, the baselines. We have guys that are in charge of cleaning up the dugouts after each game. And before the game as well, the guys that line it, do various duties to get the field ready. And we've got it down now where, you know, it's we got a system and we can do it fairly quickly with that many people. The hard part... The hardest part for me is in the summertime when everybody's gone. You know, I do a lot of the mowing, a lot of the edging.
All of a sudden it falls onto your lap. You.
Yeah, it does. My wife always says, why can't our yard look as nice as the baseball field? And I said, well, honey, as soon as we have enough room to put a diamond in the backyard, it'll look that nice.
Say, that's the money. Yeah. Mickey, that's the moneymaker over there. That's the not my front yard. Our front yard, it's the ballpark that... That's the moneymaker.
Does Coach Vig have a sense of humor? The guys that dig in really hard, does he make them flatten out the home plate area?
Oh, yeah. Coach Vig's a pile driver on those jobs. He's out there barking orders before and after the game. It's beautiful.
We talked about the fireworks night. I also saw next weekend when you have SU Pueblo come in, it's Sergio Romo weekend. Can you give us some info on that?
Absolutely, and we got to get some publicity out there about that. We're bringing Sergio Romo back to retire his jersey. He and his family are coming out. They'll be here the Friday night game and the Saturday game one of the doubleheader against CSU Pueblo. He'll throw out the first pitch. We'll give him his
record. No eligibility left, right? It's all gone?
It's gone.
Okay. I just thought I would throw it out there.
I'd like to roll him out there Friday night. I'd go to Vegas and on that one. You know, even though you can't.
Well,
the
Giants let him throw that spring training game when he retired. Yeah. Why can't NCAA play just one inning. Let him have one inning?
Yeah, an exhibition inning.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Come on.
And so he's going to come throughout the pitch. We're going to recognize him, and then we'll have some autograph signing times for fans. Friday, but for sure Saturday before we play, there'll be about a two-hour window, an hour before the game and an hour into the game where people can come and have Sergio give him an autograph and they can meet him.
That'd be fantastic. One of the all-time Maverick greats.
Oh, yeah.
World Series champion.
Three times.
Yeah, three times.
Yeah, he did all right for himself.
Yeah, he had a nice little career. He was a good little ball player.
Scratched out some wins there.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, it was okay. Turned out okay.
Yeah.
Greatest Mav of all time?
Well, I think, there's a lot of great players. I mean, if you just look at where his career went and what he achieved it in Major League Baseball, you'd have to say yes. You know, he was
our Mac Player of the Century.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, his numbers pitching in our conference have never been matched, really anything close to it. And to consider the numbers he put up in a conference that plays at altitude, those are some special numbers, and I'm not sure they'll ever be matched.
Yeah, and as you mentioned, you know, the Matt Bodenchucks, guys like that. You know, Hayden McGeary not that long ago, and going back to Randy Reddy.
Yeah, Randy, who lives here locally.
Yeah.
You got to get Randy out to the ballpark.
And, yeah, come on, Randy.
Yeah, we'll do something for Randy here coming up in the future years. There's been a lot of them. You hate to leave anybody out.
Sure. So many great players over the years going all the way back to the JUCO days, playing over at then Lincoln Park and the Junior College World Series back in the 60s into the early 70s. Chris Hanks with us, Colorado Mesa Mavericks baseball coach. And we talked with Mike DeGeorge earlier today. You know Mike, one of your colleagues.
Yep.
And Mike's going to go to Cal Poly to coach basketball. I guess just your reaction to that, Chris.
Well, we're losing a great coach. I really enjoy watching how he coaches. He's obviously done a super job. It's a big loss for us. Those will be big shoes to fill. He's done a wonderful job, and I wish him all the success in the world, and it'll give us a reason to follow Cal Poly and the sport of basketball. I know they're coming off like a 4-28 season or something.
20-game losing streak to end the season.
That's tough. And Mike will get that turned around. He's a very good coach, and that's a good jump for him and his family. And I know that's a beautiful place to live, too. I understand.
And I like asking coaches this question, especially at CMU, about the other sports, because some coaches aren't, they're focused on their own sport. Other coaches are more of the school itself. How much does the men's and women's basketball teams being good, football team being on the come up, the softball team being relevant conference-wide help you guys with, look, it's not just the baseball team. This is a culture of winning on campus, and whatever recruit you're after can add to that. How much does that help you?
Well, it helps us a bunch. I'll tell you the other thing is it helps us, and I'm a firm believer in this, and I've said this many times. I mean, I think we should have the best biology department, best business school, best nursing program. I think we ought to strive to be the best at everything, and the people involved with the leadership in those programs on campus have great pride, and our coaches have great pride, and we want to be the model institution nationwide, and I mean, it makes us very proud when we have recruits that are, say, a business, and we get to tell them we're one of the best business schools around. And we have had a guy go into nursing, and we got a great program there. So I think that I like excellence. I like high performers, top performers, people who take pride in what they do. And the more people on campus we can have that approach, it just strengthens the whole institution.
Absolutely, from the classroom to the field to the courts.
And
striving to be the best.
Our grounds crew, we have look at our campus.
It's fantastic.
And they don't get enough credit. And we have in our facilities department, we have guys up there, Bob Kinson and Jared Wilson. We called him yesterday. We need something done at the stadium, man. They're up there, they're fixing it. They're top-notch craftsmen. I just like working with people that are really good at what they do and take a lot of pride in it.
Absolutely. So the Mavericks on the road at Regis this weekend, Thursday through Saturday. Then back home the following weekend, the Sergio Romo weekend with Sergio Romo, the Mavericks' great pitcher, the former big leaguer, three-time World Series champion in town. The following weekend, of course, for that Friday night game over at the Diamond at the Bergman Sports Complex. Chris, always a pleasure. Appreciate you stopping by today.
It's great being here. It's never a chore.
I'm glad to hear that. I'm glad it's not heavy lifting for you to talk with us. So let's go ahead and play our Herd Trivia brought to you by Colorado Craft Coffee and Beer House. I've had baseball questions, and Omegan Bodie was giving me a lot of grief last time we were out here. It's like, why didn't you ask a softball question? Because I forgot what sport. It might have been lacrosse, I think I might have asked. So don't give me a bunch of grief because we have done baseball questions.
So you have a softball question?
No, I do not, actually.
Oh, okay. That's not what this was leading up to.
Because she's going to be very upset that I didn't ask another softball question. But I did ask a swim and dive question because they're coming off a very successful run out in Indianapolis, Geneva, Ohio, the national championships. Ben Sampson, how many titles, national titles, has Maverick swimmer Ben Sampson won?
Two.
A lot.
Okay, don't answer. That's our question. To win a gift card, a coffee or a beer a week here, Chris.
Do you want me to answer the question?
You can hold up your fingers if you want to. That's correct, yeah. But answer on the text line only, though.
You want me to text?
No, I don't want you to text. I want the listeners out there to text it.
But I want to win.
He doesn't work.
But you
for
got
us.
A copy from James. You're already a winner.
I can't stand losing. I'm not gonna be easy to deal with.
No, you're gonna be insufferable. I know.
I'll throw a fit.
Well, I'm not a home plate umpire that called your guy out on a borderline, called strike three. Come on, man. It's
never borderline, Jim. They're always wrong.
They're always wrong. Okay. They're always wrong. Spoken like a true baseball coach. How many titles has Ben Sampson, CMU swimmer, won? And yes, you were correct, Chris. You have the knowledge, my friend.
Not the spoken answer.
Yes.
His guess of two is incorrect.
Yes, the guess of two is incorrect. How many fingers he put up was correct. So text in your answer. It's a coffee or a beer a week for a month. You get one a week here at Cutwood Craft Coffee and Beer House.
Can I give a hint? I won't do that.
Look, we have this happen sometimes, and we're trying to give, and we end up giving it away totally.
Yeah. We give
worst guy ever is Chris Britt. When Chris used to do the show with me, Chris was
the
worst. He would give
the
answer. It's Todd Helton.
Yeah.
No, you don't. No, you give hints. You don't say what the answer is.
Do you have backup questions?
No, I do not. I do not have backup questions.
Okay.
You're making this challenging, Chris Hanks. You certainly are.
You said
heaven help the umpire crews that work his games. That's all I have to say. Heaven help them.
Well, they only have to live with me for a few hours. I got to live with me for 24 hours a day.
And that's a problem I have with myself, too.
Oh, my gosh.
So how many titles has CMU swimmer, national titles, has Ben Sampson won? First correct answer, you get the coffee or beer one a week for a month from right here at Colorado Craft Coffee and Beer House, 1144 North 12th Street and Glenwood Cross from CMU. Chris, always a pleasure. I love how you bust my chops, man. I do. And we love having Mark Vig on. We had a lot of fun with
Viggy on. He's full of worthless information. He's just like Curtis Biedelman.
He is Curtis Biedelman Jr.
True.
He really is.
That is true.
I don't know if that's a compliment necessarily.
You know, he puts up a trivia question in the clubhouse every day.
Yeah.
And the players try to answer it and the coaches try to answer it. And it's kind of fun.
You can tell he loves that. He does.
He does.
Speaking of Biedelman, our latest Davis and Biedel podcast is at our website, theteam1340.com, because you were inquiring about that. We'll record a fresh one on Thursday.
Awesome.
I have no idea what we're going to talk about. Probably some March Madness. He'll go on about Duke. He'll go on about it's Duke's title to take and all this garbage. It'll probably be some of that coming up when we record our podcast.
You know, Beadle taught me something once.
He taught you. He actually taught
one thing.
One thing. That was
right.
It, though.
Yeah.
Just one thing.
Yeah, I think only one thing. We were driving through Orchard Mesa, and I think, you see that sign, the BPOE Elks Lodge?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I might be getting part of this wrong, but Beadle taught me. I said, what does BPOE stand for? And he goes out, just immediately said, I think it stands for Benevolent Protective Order of Elks. Is that correct?
Yeah.
That'd be correct.
And I go, Beadle, how do you know that? And he said, I do not know.
Sounds
so,
about right.
Tracks. That's one thing I'll never forget. That's the one thing Curtis Biedelman taught me.
But 2 + 2, it's a challenge for him.
It is. I mean, he's challenged in a lot of areas. I feel bad for his wife. And
keep the ball in the yard.
Stacy, God bless her.
Challenge.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was a challenge. Keep the ball in the yard. Yeah, it was always...
Keeping the ball in the yard, throwing strikes, being on time.
Curtis Biedelman led the RMAC in neck strains from flipping his head back to look at the pits.
Oh, the Beadle.
Pulling traps. Ah.
Chris, always a pleasure. Thanks.
Thanks for having me, guys.
All right, we'll take a break. Megan Bodie from the CMU softball team coming up. Also, Maverick swim coach Mickey Winder and Lauren White from the CMU swim team are out here with us as well. We'll take a break and return. Make sure you join us. Stop by at Colorado Craft Coffee and Beer House, 1144 North 12th Street in Glenwood, across from CMU. It's the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network.
Stay by the radio. You are listening to the Jim Davis Show on the Team, 101 FM, 1340 AM, Grand Junction.
Welcome back to NAV Day, Colorado Craft Coffee and Beer House, 1144 North 12th Street, Glenwood, across from Houston Hall. And transition from baseball. Keep it on the diamond, though.
Yeah.
The softball.
Add two games to the winning streak.
Absolutely. As Megan Bodie joins us, CMU softball coach. Megan, how are you doing today?
Hi, Mercedes.
I mean, sorry, Megan.
Megan's a soccer coach.
Sorry, Mercedes. I got it right for a while, and then I screwed it up. Mercedes Bodie with us.
I'm doing good.
I'm sorry, Mercedes. They both start with M. At least I was in the right neighborhood. Well, Maya Arrieta, we'll keep it on
the M names.
The women with M names. What a performance! Single game school record. Hit three home runs. Hit four for the second straight day. You had to go over to the front range and play Black Hill State because of the snow and spearfish. But Mercedes, my RA, had a former Central Warrior standout. What a weekend she had for your softball team.
Oh, man, it was killer. She was our leadoff batter, so she batted the most out of everybody. And the ball just kept going way over the fence, not just barely reaching over. Just going all different sides, getting up there, even just getting singles. And then the next at bat, big home run. Why they kept pitching to her the whole time?
Still perplexes you, doesn't it?
Yeah, it was like, did you realize she hit so many home runs? But her very last at bat, her like 17th at bat on the weekend, they finally walked her.
He went over to the front range. At least didn't have to go to spearfish, so kind of a plus for your softball team to take a shorter road trip than you normally might.
Yeah, we kept looking at the weather, and spearfish just looked really cold, and it was spring break here. We're out in shorts at practice, and, like, we don't want to go play in, 20, 30 degrees, and then really just cutting, 5 hours off that road trip was great. The facilities over at Riverdale Ridge High School are actually really nice, so it worked out really well for us.
Well, a sweep of Black Hill State, Mercedes Bodie with us, CMU softball coach. So 23-7, 21-3 in conference play. Still a game back in Metro State, tied with Colorado Christian. So it's very tight at the top right now in the RMAC.
Yeah, it's really tight. Metro, we play them in a couple weeks. Metro also plays Colorado Christian the last weekend of conference. So things could go well for Metro, or they could kind of crash and burn near the end. So we'll see how that all shakes out.
Mercedes, let's get back to Maya Arrieta, because she mentioned the home run, tied the home run record for a single game. 15 home runs on the season. She's sits there at the tie for the RMAC lead in home runs with Miranda Pruitt, who also hit a home run in the series in game two. So those two have a little bit of a Mantle and Maris going back to the 60s, mm-hmm. A little bit of a home run battle, or Sosa and McGuire kind of battle for the home run lead in the RMAC.
Yeah, Miranda, she came into the weekend with a lot more home runs than Maya caught up. And so it's kind of interesting, totally different swings, but same amount of power. They've done really well. And Maya hitting three in a game. I've coached a few different players here that have tied that record. Riley Crouch, Aislinn Sharp, and Brooke Doomer have all done it in the last 4 or 5 years. So it's a special thing when that happens.
When you talk about the swings are different for Miranda and Maya, kind of take us through that a little bit, how they both generate power. They're both able to get the ball out of the yard, but they do it in a different way. Kind of take us through that a little bit.
She's got a little smaller frame. She's just got really fast hands. So she'll get a lot more singles and doubles. But, man, she was just making contact, hitting it hard, and exploded through. Miranda has more of a kind of a loopier swing, wants to finish up and hit it far. She's probably the strongest kid we've ever had through here. She's hit quite a few in practice onto the baseball field. Which is nowhere near what I could ever do. So it's just a different type of swing to where she can generate that height with it, but also the distance.
And we've talked a lot about Maya Arrieta, Miranda Pruitt, which you guys did offensively against Black Hill State in that sweep. But pitching staff was really good. 11 runs, 22 hits through the series. Hannah Sattler, gave up just 7 hits, struck out 5 in the second game of Saturday's doubleheader. So your pitching was really good this last weekend.
Yeah, Hannah's getting back on track. She was our ace last year. She's really getting in a good groove now. This year, kind of a different role we've asked her to be in. She throws a lot of slow and off-speed stuff. She's kind of the funky pitcher who spins it a lot, which really frustrates hitters because you start to think you can hit it a little bit easier. And then we have Presley, who's a junior transfer this year. She throws hard. She's got a lot of power. She's 6'1", so that's kind of a different look than we've had in a while. She did really good game one, threw a shutout, had 13 strikeouts. So the combination of them works really well. And then we have two other pitchers that are totally different, too, to really help out.
And Presley Christensen, you referenced starts can come out of the bullpen. She's a really good versatile arm for you.
Yeah, she's done really well. She's settling into that that game one starter role well, and just kind of the confidence keeps increasing every week. And she's got a really good defense behind her, so she really trusts our team. And I think those two are really going to help us out in the long run.
You also had a freshman going back to your bats, Jackie Oster, that hit a home run in that series against Black Hill State. Tell us about this youngster, Jackie Oster.
Jackie's a right fielder from Arizona, 6 foot tall kid, super strong. Her swing's actually been kind of funky the last couple weeks in practice, so she hasn't played a whole lot. This was a great weekend for her to bust back out and have some success. And it's kind of funny, one of her at-bats, I asked her to try to put a sack bunt down, couldn't get it down, and then she just hit a home run. I was like, well, that works out pretty well. So if you can't get a bunt down, but hit it over. She's got a ton of power, and it was a great weekend, again, for her to get back on track.
Mercedes Boatte, coach of the CMU softball team with us. It's Mav Dad here at Cutterbunner Craft Coffee and Beer House, 1144 North 12th Street and Glenwood, right across from Houston Hall on the CMU campus. And so perfect 8-0, your last two home weekends so far, and you get to come back home this weekend as you are playing over at the CMU softball field. It's going to start Thursday, doubleheader with New Mexico Highlands. And, of course, you have Easter Sunday off. But Cowgirls come to town for a four-game set.
Yeah, we haven't played home very much this year. So it's like, oh, finally, we're going to be home for a little while, which is always nice to play late March and early April and in Grand Junction because the weather's usually nice. So Thursday, we're going to play in the evening. So we'll play at 4 and 6, which is kind of unique. Our girls are excited to play later on in the day, just for something a little different. They're like, oh, the lights will come on. I'm like, well, if we play the games quick enough, sunsets at 7:30. Maybe we won't have to turn the lights on. So that's kind of the
goal. Save a little power, save a little energy. President Marshall appreciates that.
Right. But it'll be a good weekend. Highlands is notoriously not a strong team. But it's, if you don't do the job, anybody can do well against you. So we're hoping to keep the power and the dominance going at home this weekend.
Now, we talked with Chris Angst. They've got Sergio Romo weekend coming up next weekend. They've got their fireworks game. Anything on the agenda for you coming up that you want to, special event games that you have coming up, Mercedes, you want to maybe start getting the word out about a little bit?
No.
No, you don't? Okay.
Just home games. It'd be neat to have something like that. Baseball does a great job. I was talking to Chris Day about the Romo game, and that'll be kind of a really neat experience for them. It's just really nice when baseball and softball are home at the same time.
It is pretty cool, isn't it?
Because you get a good crowd of people kind of going back and forth. And then between our left field and their right field, it's kind of a nice area to watch, be able to switch back and forth and watch games. And, hey, what's the big hit? What's going on? One of our softball players he has twins, that one's on the baseball team, one's on the softball team, so that's like his spot, is like kind of going back and forth. Yeah, so, but yeah, anytime we're home at the same time, it's always a great weekend.
I'll notice if I'm calling a baseball game, and I'll look over, and I'll find myself, let's go on the softball team. And I'll be watching for a minute. Okay, you got to focus on the baseball game, that's right. What you're calling right now. But, once again, starts Thursday with Highlands coming to town, yep. That doubleheader that starts at 4 o'clock.
Yes.
All right, so get out and support CMU softball. One final thing. I asked Chris Hanks about this. I know you know Mike DeGeorge, and Mike's going to go out to Cal Poly. I guess just some thoughts about that. You're going to lose one of your colleagues moving on to the D1 level.
I know. I read about it this morning. It's a bummer. It's always great to keep good coaches here at CMU. He really developed that program to be, you know, a higher level here. But I think that's also Division II. You get, you know, things rolling and new opportunities come up. So I wish him well. I'll follow the team, and hopefully he makes that team a lot better. It's going to take some time, I think, but we'll see how that goes, and we'll see where Baskin ends up, too. So, again, wish him well and hope that you have some of those cool stories later on, like, oh, he started at Colorado Mesa. Like, here's what happened next. So.
Exactly. Look, part of the coaching legacy and success for Mike DeGeorge. Mercedes, always appreciate it. Thank you so much for stopping by again today. What are you drinking today, by the way?
Dirty chai.
Oh, dirty chai. Was that what you had last time?
Yep, it's okay. A good one.
why mess with something you love, right?
That's right.
Exactly. Mercedes, I appreciate the time. Thanks for stopping by again today.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, Mercedes Bodie, coach of the CMU softball team. And we'll take a break. We'll come back and talk some swimming with Mickey Winder and Lauren White from the CMU swim and dive team. I'm looking to see from Tyler if we have a winner today for our herd trivia.
It's Chris Hanks, wasn't it?
Chris.
He tried to win.
Nothing like trying to talk and trying to text at the same time.
While Chris was looking for a cell
phone. No winner yet. We don't have a winner yet?
Oh.
I think it's that tough of a question.
I don't. So we've talked about it quite a bit here the last month.
Yes, we have. So here's the herd trivia question brought to you by Colorado Craft Coffee and Beer House. How many national titles has Ben Sampson, CMU swimmer, won? Swimmer of the year, by the way, mm-hmm. D2. How many titles has he won? He ties a record for CMU.
Yeah.
So, not of a swimmer, but of a diver for the Mavericks. Do you remember who that was?
I do.
Do you remember his name?
Yes.
Do you want to tell me his name?
Ben Sampson?
No.
Amar Hassan.
Amar Hassan, yes, very good. So, Ben Sampson, how many national titles has he won coming off the national championships out at Geneva, Ohio? So send your answer in. First correct answer, you get a coffee or beer a week for a month here at Colorado Craft Coffee and Beer House. So get your answer in, text only on the team line, 970-242-1340. We'll take a break. We'll come back with more of Mav Day here at Colorado Craft Coffee and Beer House on the Team Sports Network.
Good morning, gentlemen. What are the haps?
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, The Team.
And welcome back to Colorado Craft Coffee and Beer House, 1144 North 12th Street in Glenwood, across from CMU. Swing by, grab a cup of coffee today, and all their coffees, all their beers, ciders, teas, you name it, the sodas here are all from Colorado. And don't forget, they have beer bingo tonight at 6:30. Trivia every Friday night at 6:30 here at Colorado Craft Coffee and Beer House, where they welcome in your food from outside. You can just bring it in and enjoy the free Wi-Fi and the great coffees and beers right here at Colorado Craft Coffee and Beer House. And on Mav Day today, he is the National Women's Coach of the Year, and also from the CMU Swim Team, Lauren White, 30-time National All-American, joining us today. Mickey, Lauren, thanks for coming in this morning.
Jim, thanks for having us.
We appreciate you stopping by. So, National Women's Coach of the Year. Congratulations, well-deserved, on the job you've done with both the men's and the women's teams at CMU. Of course, a very successful run at it, Geneva, Ohio, in the national championships.
Thanks, Jim. And I just got to thank our women for being killers all year. They were so tough and focused, and there was just a level of integrity and commitment from this particular group led by Lauren White that was unusual. It was a special, fun year, and to be honored as the Coach of the Year was sort of the cherry on top. It was really a lot of fun.
And for you, Lauren, as I mentioned, an All-American 30 times. That just, you ever hear that number? I think I probably asked you this when you've been on the show before. You hear that number, does it resonate that, I mean, 30 times you've done that? That's just incredible. If you do it once or twice, it's amazing. But 30 times is pretty remarkable.
Yeah, it is. It kind of has a ring to it. I was going for 30 all year, having the ability to score 7 times and having the ability to actually follow through with that 7 times was pretty incredible.
When somebody asks you, what does it take to be a 30-time All-American? How do you answer that question?
A lot of determination and grit and fight.
Where does that come from?
The coaches and the teammates.
How does this guy sitting over here to your right, Coach Winder, how does he motivate you? How does he help you get the best out of yourself?
He probably has more goals for us than we do for ourselves. It's a very, very high level of intensity and him wanting it for us, and we strive off of that.
And it's a record that's most likely never going to be broken. I mean, that's a good feeling, isn't it? That you, what you've accomplished, what you set out to do, exceeded well beyond probably what your expectations were. To have a record of being an All-American 30 times, and there's been some great swimmers, there'll be some great swimmers, competitors for CMU in the future, but to have that, I mean, to hold a record that's never probably going to be broken is pretty incredible stuff.
Yeah, the ability to take my fifth year this year because of COVID, so you can have 7 events per year, and it's 4 years, so that's 28, and to have that 30 is like Chris Day said in his article, a record that can never be broken.
Yeah, right about that. Mickey Winder with us, Lauren White from the CMU Swim and Dive team. And Mickey, for you, what's I mean, she's been an All-American 30 times. What do you see in her as a swimmer that's helped her accomplish such an incredible feat?
What Lauren brought to our team first and foremost was passion and commitment. And she was a frail little girl as a freshman out of high school, a 59-second backstroker, spent her senior year mostly in the hospital with health conditions. And what she has developed into and grown physically, spiritually for our team has been unbelievable. There's a toughness, and when they know that you love them, they'll allow you to be hard on them. And I think that's really true about our women's team this year. Lauren, through her actions in the 4 years or 5 years of progressing and developing and improving and fighting in practice every day, earned her the right to lead this group in a very special, unique way. Because there was an edge, there was a toughness, there was this focus and commitment that can only come when you've earned it. And she's been through it. She's been in the trenches with them. She worked incredibly hard and wanted it for all of us. And so I'd say, you know, Lauren's ambition, clearly, you know, when she realized and did the math that no one would ever break that record, that was a big deal to her.
Oh, sure. Absolutely.
Yeah. And so that's part of it, right? You need that ambition. And that's our first core value in our program. And secondly, it's team. It's taking care of people and working together and holding everybody to a high standard. And Lauren was amazing at that. And then thirdly, you got to be tough. You know, I'm a nice guy, I think, but I'm a hard coach. And Lauren, I think, can see that and understood and could explain to the freshman, he's hard on you because he cares about you and he wants you to develop to your potential. And he's got a vision that goes beyond maybe what you can see for yourself at that time. And so those are just some of the things that Lauren brought to our team. And a lot of points. She was... You get to the point, and Ben Sampson was this way too, where you just know they're going to get their hand on the wall first. And when Lauren dove in for the 4x50 free relay, I just knew we were going to win. They dove in exactly tied with the team from Henderson State, and there was zero doubt in my mind. Same on the 4x100 free. We needed a miracle to win that meet. We needed to win the relay, and then we needed Nova Southeastern to be 12th or lower for us to win. And I knew we were going to do our part, and unfortunately, Nova didn't do theirs, and they got 4th or 5th or something and won the meet. But it was close, and we were in it the whole way, and you know, Lauren's leadership was invaluable.
Second place finish, not what you're hoping for, but still remarkable, highest finish ever for the Maverick swim team in the national championships, and so close to bringing home that first ever team national championship to CMU.
Yeah, I told the team I'd probably have given this little finger for those 26 points, but we were about as good as we could have been in the swimming portion of it. We were tough. It never goes exactly right, but we were battle hardened. I'm so grateful to the University of Wyoming and Brigham Young and Air Force Academy, our three main rivals that pushed us in Northern Arizona. In fact, after the meet that night, I texted with my friends, the coaches at those schools, and just said, thank you for getting us to the place where we knew we could take it to the last relay. And we knew that we'd been tested in a lot of different ways. And so we were grateful for them.
Mickey, we're running short on time, but I do want to ask you about the men's team. Women finished second, men took fifth. Ben Sampson, National Swimmer of the Year. You're the National Women's Coach of the Year. But Ben Sampson, by the way, Jim with the correct answer, six times he's been the national champion, along with diver Mar Hassan. But the men's team, Ben Sampson, what a remarkable season they also put together as well.
Yeah, I'm proud of those guys. They were kind of in the women's shadow all year, but certainly not Ben Sampson. And for him to do what he did, to be at his best when it mattered the most, and to win those championships, I think the 400 IM race was a great example. He and this Cedric Busing, this Olympian from Germany, were over two seconds under the national record for Ben to win that race by 1/100th of a second. And you just know, because he does it every single day. And he got out, and a couple of hours later, he said, "That's the hardest thing I've ever done, except for practice." And he makes practice so hard on himself that you just know he's going to be there when it matters. And he was. And 4 for 4 and Swimmer of the Year couldn't have gone any better for him.
Mickey, I appreciate it. Thank you so much, Lauren. Thanks for coming by as well. Congratulations on all the accolades. Coach of the Year, well-deserved. Ben Sampson, Swimmer of the Year, well-deserved as well. And Lauren, congratulations on the 30 All-Americans for you. Appreciate the time. And thanks for stopping by today. It's a pleasure to finally get to meet in person, Mickey.
Thanks, Jim. It's
Thank
our
you
pleasure.
For having us.
All right, back to you tomorrow morning at 7 o'clock here on the Team Sports Network.